So let's bring in a couple of cases here. Let's talk about your 88-year-old man, Andy.
Sure. So 88-year-old white man presents with severe facial pain. He was found to have stage 4E diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, with his primary bulk of disease being a large, about a 6-7 centimeter erosive mass that was infiltrating the floor of the maxillary sinus, actually resulting in complete opacification of that sinus, the right frontal, and the ethmoid sinus. He had discordant bone marrow involvement. In other words, he had small cells in the bone marrow. The other pathologic data, MYC was negative, Ki-67 was approximately 40 to 50%. His performance status at the time, really, he had had this for about a month, was 1 leaning on 2. But despite his age, this was a gentleman living on his own, performing all activities of daily living. He did have some comorbidities. He had a history of diverticulosis, BPH, had a history of MI. His baseline ejection fraction is 50 to 55%, although completely compensated, no history of failure. He also had prostate cancer, a Gleason 7, status post-orchiectomy 1 year prior.
So, Mike, what would you be thinking about in this situation?
Yeah, so a very elderly, reasonably fit person. And just an editorial comment, regardless of what I would elect to treat this patient with, if I treated him, I would find that he would look every bit of 88, you know, once we get going. That said, if this is somebody who, it sounds like he's a candidate for therapy, certainly got very symptomatic disease, he needs to respond well. I would think about, if he's got good cardiac function, I would think about the rituximab plus mini CHOP or reduced dose CHOP, as the Gila group reported. He's not going to be a good candidate with that area of involvement for radiation, which I suppose you could do some version of to palliate it if he were not a chemotherapy candidate. He's certainly got a risk for CNS disease if he doesn't already have sort of dural-based abutment or extension, given what you were describing about the extent of sinus involvement and infiltration. So I would be going into this thinking this is a palliative approach, but to get something into him that'll give him symptomatic relief and maybe some degree of disease control for a time.
And the baseline, I think obviously you have to be in the room. He was a guy that was definitely a chemotherapy candidate. He said, I want to do anything possible type of attitude. Give me your best shot type of approach.
Chris?
So like Mike, I would think about the rituximab mini CHOP regimen for this type of patient. Oftentimes when I give that regimen to patients into their 80s, I'll give it in the hospital and I'll give it as a sequential regimen the first time, giving the rituximab and then waiting a day or so to see how people do and then giving the other chemotherapy agents following that. For this particular gentleman, I would think very carefully about the Adriamycin with each cycle and would be willing to drop it later on in the chemotherapy if he started to have trouble.
So what did you do?
So I can tell you the best thing we did for him initially is frankly gave him steroids. And the reason I think I'll see that sometimes even with colleagues and in the community, sometimes with someone especially localized, very symptomatic disease, there's a feel to rush into radiation up front or to rush into chemotherapy. But often the best palliative modality you can give. So literally 100 milligrams of prednisone, it was night and day. I mean, his performance status went from 1 to 2 to, I mean, his pain wasn't gone, but it was markedly improved. And there's actually data to support that anecdote. The Germans, Michael Frontschuh, has shown that now almost all, if not all, diffuse large B-cell lymphoma patients, they give a pre-phase 2, almost like a Burkitt's. I think they give vincristine with the prednisone. And I don't quite do it that systematically, but if a patient's been close to finished staging, I have a very short leash just to buy them symptomatic relief and also, moreover, to potentially improve their performance status. So that was something we did, concerted effort, really kind of almost like a pre-phase. We gave him a week of steroids, didn't give him vincristine, and actually gave him a dose of rituximab. You could argue, did we really need that? And he did dramatically improve his performance status.
Any change in the tumor?
It was tough to say. I mean, it was really socked in there and pretty hard to see. It looked like it was a little smaller. But we were a little concerned, and maybe I might have minimized his cardiac status, but I was a little nervous to give him anthracycline. So I think it's still unpublished, but there's data from British Columbia, this CEOP regimen, basically substituting etoposide for anthracycline. So we went that route. It's the first day's IV, the next 2 days are oral. And he did remarkably well. He tolerated 6 cycles of RCEOP. We vacillated on the intrathecal question, but we figured, if we're going to cure this patient of diffuse large B-cell, relatively speaking, cure, at least buy him another 5, maybe 10 years, we wouldn't want a secondary CNS relapse. So we did give him 4 doses of intrathecal. And he did so well, and he was basically asymptomatic, frankly. I mean, a little fatigue at the end of chemotherapy, we consolidated with radiation.